The show you're about to listen to is very old and comes with a warning. When we recorded these shows over a decade ago, the world was a different place and we were little more than children. As a result of this, you might hear a few things that by today's standards we judge to be inappropriate or offensive. Please don't be offended. In the years that have passed since recording these shows, we've all grown up to be wonderful, loving, liberal, free-thinking, open-minded individuals. If the us from over a decade ago say something to upset the you of today, please understand that we're as disgusted with ourselves as you are. But isn't this what life is all about? Learning and growing? We all said and did things in our younger days that make us cringe when we think about them. We just recorded it and put it out on the internet. With all that in mind, I hope you enjoy the show. Oh, and there's just one more thing. Don't email the show or try to enter competitions. We don't have that email anymore, and all the competitions are over. We do have a Facebook group where you're very welcome to discuss any aspects of the podcast. Please visit simplysyndicated.com for more information.
Welcome to Movies You Should See. This week, we are reviewing the Korean classic Old Boy, directed by Park Chan-wook and starring Choi Min-sik, Yoo Ji-tae, and Kang Hye-jung.
Well done.
Well done.
Well done.
That was my best attempt at pronouncing Korean names. I'm very sorry if I got them wrong. But yes, welcome to Movies You Should See. This week, I'm going to be Craig Bevan.
I'm Mike Dawson.
I'm Alison Downing.
I'm Richard Smith.
Richard is out of the room making coffee at the moment because he's our bitch.
Something.
He is our bitch.
He's
and
our
it
bitch.
Is 1:30 in the morning and we haven't just starting now.
Yeah, just starting the first.
It was
of the
about
year.
Time he did something anyway after that operation. He's been mithering it out a bit, I reckon.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Well, he needs the exercise as well, doesn't he?
He does, yes. He needs to maintain his muscle tone in his stomach.
Because coffee does use your stomach
exercise.
Muscles a hell of a lot.
It does,
we can all bollocks.
We can all bollocks.
We can all bollocks.
Grasp of language. Anyway.
So,
we are talking about the Korean film Old Boy.
2003. Let's go over the plot line first of all. We have our main character, Oh Da-soo, who is imprisoned for 15 years in a room
randomly.
He's one night, he goes out on the piss, ends up very drunk in a police station, and then leaves the police station with his best mate,
calls his daughter whose birthday it is, he's got a little gift for her,
yeah, and as his mate goes on the phone to talk to his wife, he's kidnapped and is put in this prison. And then he spends 15 years in this prison and is suddenly released with no warning and no explanation, and is effectively given 5 days to work out who and why this has happened to him. Why this has happened to him and who's done it.
And, you know, obviously...
Thank you for the coffee. Yes, thank you.
Hurry along now, Craig's waiting.
Yeah. Quickly now. So, yeah, that's the plot. That's the plot in a nutshell.
We don't want to reveal too much in this because there's a lot of substance that, you know, is...
It sounds deceptively simple. The story, the way I've just described it, sounds very simple. It really isn't. I said to you because I've watched this now 6 times, which I think is more times than I've ever watched any foreign language film before in my life. Generally, subtitles, which you'll see a film, even if it's a really good one like Amoris Prose or Amelie or something like that, you think, shit, do I really want to watch the subtitles?
Got to be in the mood.
Got to be in the mood for subtitled films, generally, no matter how good they
work,
are.
It's work, isn't it?
Yeah, it's work. You're reading.
Those films just don't happen to you. You've got to engage and try hard.
You can't just sit in the the background and not are you getting muffins now?
Donuts.
That's your
eating
one.
Oh my god.
Well, then I need to have a chocolate orange one before you eat them all.
I'm fine.
No, thank you. I'm good. I'm talking about a film.
There's this thing, you know.
There's this show that we do every week, Rich, that you run.
Yeah. No, he's just knocked something over now. So, right, okay.
First thing that struck me.
Yeah, you were just talking about you've watched this six times.
Yeah, I've watched this six times because it is a thoroughly engrossing film and it's very interesting to watch. And this is the sixth time I've watched it, and even tonight I noticed something about it. You have to pay strict attention whilst watching this film. You cannot...
Yeah.
Your eyes cannot leave the screen for more than 5 seconds at a time, otherwise you will miss a pivotal piece of information.
So full of stuff every step of the way. Every single minute has a new thing, new thing that's discovered, a new thing that sort of develops into something else, which is essential to the whole plot.
Every sentence you read is something profoundly important that you need to get. There are a couple of times where I think my eyes wandered off the screen for a bit and I almost want to shout, rewind, I missed that blink shot. I need to read it. My eyes were nailed to that screen.
I
had things to do. I had a heavy tray on my lap and I didn't move for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, it's priceless comedy moments as well. I mean, especially at the start when he's in the police station. Just little... To me, that guy, the main guy, his acting was... 5.5 stars out of 5. It really, really was.
I'm just astounded.
This is something else as well, because I find it very hard to judge performances in foreign languages generally. I don't know if anyone else finds that, but
you concentrate so much on the words, you can't actually see the physical.
Well, not the performance so much as like the physicality of it. Can see more, but just the deliveries. Like in an English language film, you can spot bad deliveries. Whereas in a foreign language film, it's harder to spot. And this is one of the first times again I've seen a foreign language film where I've just been stunned by this man's performance. I didn't understand a word he was saying.
No,
but
could you have watched it with the sound switched off? And still know what emotion he was going
You could get
through.
The emotion. You wouldn't be able to, you wouldn't be able to get the
but
narrative.
You wouldn't know.
You miss all the narrative, but you'd feel the emotion that was attached to each of the words he was saying at the time.
Absolutely stunning performance.
And if you think what the guy's gone through as well, even from the bit of plot that we've outlined for you already, just that the 15 years in a prison randomly, he doesn't even know, and he's got to work out why and who it is within 5 days, you can imagine there's a lot of high tension kind of stuff going down in this film.
Have you talked about the room he was locked in? Because we're saying prison, and I think that's going to conjure up an image of bars and all that.
But it looks like a prison at first.
It does, from what we see from outside the door.
The first glimpse that we see of it is very much a kind of a jailer sort of thing, isn't it? A small hatch through which we see an anonymous figure.
But the room he's in is actually like a little bedroom. It's got wallpaper on the wall.
It's
like a proper bed with a TV.
It's like a cheapish hotel
room, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's even got a window with a projector of an outside...
It was a windmill, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a projector image to stop him, with simulated daylight, stop him going mad. And the people who've imprisoned him give him a drug that's used on schizophrenics to stop him from going nuts while he's in there, and various other things.
They use Valium gas, don't they, to put him to sleep every now and again.
To like cut his hair and stuff like that, and keep him sort of trim and keep the apartment clean as well. Apartment.
So while he's in there, he's working out various things. He's trying to figure out who's put him in there, and he trains himself up punching a figure on the wall. He goes a little bit nuts at certain points and starts hallucinating about ants, which is a thing in the film. Apparently people who are very lonely hallucinate about ants because they're quite community-based insect, and you know, that's various. That's a running theme in the film.
And he says about making friends with television as well, doesn't he?
Oh, that's all he's got. Isn't
television,
it?
Just his got a television, school, so. His preacher, his parents, his everything,
his clock as well.
His clock,
yeah. And a brilliant sequence where, because basically the film isn't so much about those 15 years. You read the tagline of the film and it describes the plot line, and you think to yourself, all right, so we're going to have a lot of this film is in this 15 years that he's in prison.
But no,
it's pretty much over before it begins. It's only about 10 minute sequence, I think, all in all.
It's not important what he went through. We just have to know that he was in prison.
There are bits that were important.
The important bit is the motivation.
Yeah.
And then that's it. Just sets it up.
I think we're showing it quite nicely as well, because we don't have to see 15 years of this
terrible. There were probably many days when very little happened.
Yeah. But we were shown how the years went by according to him. He was shown things on TV. It was all news stories that he related.
Events.
What happened in year 11? This happened in year 12.
Yeah,
it was all news stories.
Various things like Kim Jong-un coming to South Korea, which have been obviously a major event in South Korean history. The election
handover from Hong Kong.
Princess Diana's death, the 9/11, the Twin Towers, all of these events, which show you how the progression of how long Korea's World Cup, World Cup, and various other things. So it's a mix of world events and Korean events as well. And it shows you the progression of time. So, but yeah, the 15 years in prison isn't necessarily the most important part of the film, and that's over and done with.
Yeah, it's the setup.
It's the setup. For what is, I would say, one of the most fantastically intelligent studies of revenge I've ever seen.
This was... Now, sorry, go on.
Well, just to say, like that films like forget shit like Man on Fire, and I'm not saying Man on Fire is shit, but just generally, like, forget the whole the guy killed my daughter, I'm going to go around and kill, you know, as satisfying as those films are, where you want the guy to just fucking nail all the people who've done him wrong and everything else, and revenge films, they are satisfying, but the best ones are the ones with a bit of complexity about them, where they make maybe his vendetta slightly amoral. And I won't go into details of how this exactly does it, but it is just a fantastic new twist on the revenge film. And it's
simply, for me, I think, one of the best films I've seen in a very long time.
Yeah, likewise.
Definitely.
I'll second that,
I've just watched it for the first time tonight, and if that isn't my favourite film, it's a fucking close second. Mm. I sat there astounded all the way through it and traumatised and distraught at the end. And all
my heart was just pounding at the end so much.
And I literally moved forward to the edge of my seat because I didn't want to miss a nanosecond of what was going on.
Yeah. Mm. First of all, like you, I couldn't get up. I couldn't move. I had the tray as well. And I was freezing my ass off in
always,
this room.
When we come to Rich's and Alison's house, we always just sit with trays on our laps.
Yeah.
Heavy trays. And see how long we can last whilst watching a film.
Speaking of him, shall we say where he is?
Trey.
Yes, Trey.
Tristan
is in another hemisphere.
Yeah, he's been kidnapped by Brazilian militants.
Yeah. I think it's safe to say he's probably going to come back one day. I think you'll probably hear his voice again.
He'll be able to catch one of those buses that's around.
One day.
Yeah.
It does mean he's probably going to be absent for another 9 weeks, though, so...
Is it nine now?
It might just coincide with another set of recordings or something like that. Basically, he's in Brazil for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's it.
The only reason he's not been on the show is because we've had badly timed... No, he's badly timed things while we've been... You see, I nearly said we'd badly time recordings then, but no, I'm not giving him that.
We always time recordings every Thursday.
Yeah.
Friday.
I know the show comes out every Friday. I think we all know. In fact, let's think back to who suggested doing the show every Friday.
That is a point.
I don't think they're in this room right now.
No, you're not.
They might be in a similar room somewhere in...
And he's on the forum. He's on the chuffing forum. He's not been on the forum for months. Goes to Brazil. There he is.
You said chuffing.
What?
Chuffing forums.
Chuffing forums. Yorkshireisms.
Do you say chuffing, Alison?
Sometimes, but it's
more it's
me,
a South Yorkshire, Sheffield-esque sort of thing.
It's a, right. It's kind of a cuddly swear word.
It is really. It's like shuffing flipping out.
Oh, it's only cuddly to you people because you're all weird.
You're I think you're the minority. I'm sorry. All right. What's harsher, fucking hell or chuffing hell? I mean, really,
chuffing hell.
Chuffing hell.
Don't say chuffing hell to me.
Hey, we'll chuff you,
guys. Guys, can't.
You don't make fun of Sean B.
Love a chuffer. So.
God, that's our first laugh, you know. I think we're
it
all
is, yeah.
Of,
we're all very serious at the moment.
We just
watched 2.5 hours of pure intense
and let's
subtitled
face it,
Korean magic.
We have just watched some fairly traumatic stuff as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, yeah. It's all this emotion.
There was a point where, well, there were a couple of points where I turned away from the screen.
Yeah.
Even though I was nailed to it. And I think you guys are taking quite pleasure in my squirmishness at that point.
Oh, it was funny. I mean, there is violence in this film.
We said
he was training up in his room to fight as one of his pastimes, basically. And there's one scene in particular, and you will know it when you see it. It is possibly one of the best choreographed pieces.
Are you talking about the fight in the corridor?
It is choreographed.
Is it choreographed?
Yeah, it took them 4 days to shoot it.
It's unbelievable. It's one shot. Yeah. It's one shot.
Yes.
Ultimate.
It's basically, imagine one of the old 90s platform console games.
Mm. Yes, that's exactly what it was like.
With the corridor, where you got, you know, where it doesn't move three-dimensionally. It's not a follow, POV, shoot 'em up like Doom or something like that. But like,
it's a flat screen. Like, you go left to
screen,
right.
Left to right.
You beat 'em up sort of thing, like Golden Axe or something, that type of...
Yeah, you're looking at it as if half the building's missing, basically.
Yeah.
And you're just seeing that corridor.
Yeah, you're just seeing the corridor, like on Mario Brothers or something like that, or, you know, those old...
That type of,
and it's
scrolling games.
It's but with a lot more violence. And
everybody sat around the world going, we get it, we know what you mean, a platform game movie.
I don't think they do.
No, right, let's just re-describe this again. Basically, there were games based on platforms.
And they scrolled from left to right. That's left to right. It's the same way that we read and write.
Occasionally, they would go from bottom to top.
That was when they became more complicated.
Well, that was one of the space ones.
Yeah.
Do you remember Rainbow Island, where you had to make the little rainbows and jump them and climb up?
I'm not familiar with that particular masterpiece.
No, I don't know that one.
Perhaps too young.
Yeah, maybe.
But Golden Axe is the one that immediately springs.
Golden Axe and Streets of Rage.
Streets of Rage and...
God, loads of...
Double Dragon.
Double Dragon,
that's the one, yeah. Yeah.
Even earlier, IK over. Plus, Ya Kung Fu. See, this will be even before your day.
Mine doesn't go beyond Mario Brothers 1. It just doesn't have mushrooms. I'm not interested. Yeah. So this shot, is 4 days of choreography.
He gets the invulnerability star.
Yeah.
Goes across.
With a claw hammer. And nails the fuck out of about 50 guys in one long shot. It's about 2 minutes long,
With a knife in his back.
With a knife. he gets stabbed at one point in this and he keeps going with a fucking knife sticking
out of his
back.
He's just that angry.
Let's not beat about the bus. This guy is fucking rock hard.
He's fucking nailed.
He takes some pistons and just keeps getting up for more.
He's not as hard
so
as
Iron
Man.
He could kick your ass.
As who?
Iron Man. Not me.
Scott Bakula.
Yeah. Oh, is that who you say?
I said I, man.
What?
How have I been saying it?
What? Anyway.
Sorry.
The classic Disney movie I've been watching recently.
Iman.
Right.
Stop all looking at me like that.
Complete the phrase. Iman.
I moved away then when I left as well.
So...
Yeah, if this podcast sounds terrible, and I'm not talking about the content, then I apologise, I'm having technical difficulties. I don't know what the fuck's wrong. That's why we're having difficulties. So volume may go up and down, we may start a lot, but I'm sorry. And it's probably going to be for the next 2 weeks as well, so if it's really pissing you off, sorry.
Do bear with us, though.
Or, you know, donate some money to us. Buy a compressor.
£1,000 and then we can
limit
you,
and we'll give you a perfectly crafted podcast. Anyway, brilliant.
This fight sequence is brilliant, and it's actually the only really prolonged fight sequence in the film. And despite, because this film has quite a reputation for being fairly extreme, it's part of I don't know what the marketing is in the US or in other regions in the world, but like in the UK we get Tartan Video and it's called Asian Extreme, and you have things like Ring and Audition and various others like falling under this category. And
is the Ring considered extreme?
Well, no, it's not considered extreme, it's the label, it's and so it's labeled Asian Extreme films. But even though this is extreme, there's not
what it means is Asian interesting,
what it means is Asian good, but Asian Extreme seems to sell better. Despite this label, the film itself actually refrains from showing you that much in terms of violence. I feel it's all implied. I mean, especially the really horrid stuff.
In there's some of the fight sequences, obviously there's fight sequences, but nothing sort of graphic or gory or anything like that.
Not particularly, no.
It was all imagined. You're right.
I mean, it's all implied.
There were two scenes I couldn't watch. And that was, I can say it happened without giving any plot away.
No,
it's all right. I have it in my head. I know how it's going to sound. There's a scene where somebody has teeth pulled out for whatever reason. That's fine. It happens. We can say that. We've revealed he gets stabbed. We didn't say where or why.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So somebody gets teeth pulled out and you're aware and it's just, you can't look at it.
No,
I couldn't look at it. And the worst thing was, I think we watched this while we were all eating.
That
was a dumb fucking moment.
We were all using our teeth.
Eating at the same time that one of the characters is eating a rather extreme meal.
And that's
the one that I couldn't.
I didn't look at that either.
I just couldn't even go there.
I think we can tell them what that one is. That's not really important.
Live squid. He eats live squid.
He asks for a meal that is alive. He wants to eat something that's alive.
So the lady prepares him a live squid on a plate.
Live squid.
And he tucks in.
And it's alive. And,
yeah, if he'd been a Klingon, we wouldn't have thought anything of it.
But it was real. It wasn't a CG shirt. It wasn't a puppet. It wasn't made out of plasticine.
It was
eating a fucking squid.
The tentacles were really wrapping themselves around his face.
Yeah.
Don't be an actor.
Right, I'm gagging.
How often do I say this? How often have I said this? Don't be an actor. Yeah. I'm going to. That's going on.
Be a director.
T-shirt.
Get the actors to do this shit.
Yeah.
And what were you saying, Mike? He's a Buddhist.
Yeah, the actor's a Buddhist. You had to pray for 4 days after doing it.
See, what did I say? As soon as that happened, I turned to you and said, Mike, write a film where we get one of our actors to do that.
Yeah.
That's it. Be a director. Be a writer.
Who's a Buddhist? Make him pray.
You know, don't be an actor. You've got to do shit
like eat squids.
See, it's like do you remember in California Man when Brendan Fraser eats the head off a frog?
Yeah.
A pickled frog.
Mm.
That was real as well.
It was not.
It was. That was real. I saw him talking about
it. They do that with bugs as well, don't they?
That was real. They have those in science labs. It's not going to kill him. It's just gross. Seriously.
Walton. Couldn't they have made a cake that looked like a frog?
Frog cake?
Yeah.
I would have asked that if I were Brendan Fraser as well.
Frog.
In fact, next time we come here, you need to make...
I'm sorry. I'm not even going to attempt his name.
Frog cake.
You know, so much respect for the guy. I don't want to fuck his name up. So
Brendan Fraser.
No.
Oh, the
guy in Old Boy who's just astounded me.
You'll say Brendan Fraser's name wrong. Is it Fraser? Fraser.
I don't know, but
Fraser.
I said it wrong there at least once.
Really ate that thing, and he went through so much more than Brendan Fraser ever did.
I don't know. Have you seen Dudley Do Right?
No.
Neither has anyone else.
George in the Jungle, he went through a lot.
That film was awesome.
Yeah.
John Cleese is the voice of a talking gorilla. I'll watch that all day.
One thing I also is to say, what the fuck was that? That wasn't words. They weren't words. No, that wasn't a sentence.
They were words.
They were words. They weren't. Yeah, they weren't.
I said it weren't. I'm not from Yorkshire.
You were.
It weren't a sentence, man.
No. Been up here long enough.
No. Now.
It's a right good film.
Water. Breathing our air.
Watching Old Boy while eating.
You'll be eating Henderson's relish and working down pit before you know it.
Surely no, won't. There's no
watching Old
left.
Boy 9 while 12.
While 12 was doing what?
No one knows.
No one knows.
Anyway, what you were saying was you can't speak.
Yeah, I was going to say the director's also done, this is the middle section of a theme trilogy. So not in terms of plot, he's done three films about revenge, the first one being Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, and then the last one has just been released, Lady Vengeance. Neither the first one or the second one have I seen. In fact, I got put off from buying Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance because of the fucking appalling title. What title is that?
It sounds like almost a chick flick until you get to the word vengeance.
Yeah, Sympathy for Mr. Magoo. It doesn't really, you know, it doesn't sell it. But apparently that's is very good as well, and so is Lady Vengeance. So I'll have to watch those and see how those fare opposite.
Well, if then I'm extremely interested in this guy's work, and I will be watching.
Maybe it's the translation as well.
Maybe it is.
No, maybe. Yeah, no, I don't think it's the same in Korean. It's not... it's not even, it's just a made up title for Western audiences, but God knows why they chose that one in particular. But yeah, that's his trilogy, which is also stars some of the same actors.
Yeah.
So like, what's his face in his Vietnam trilogy?
Oliver Stone. Yeah. Have I seen
any of those? Cause it's Born on the 4th of July and I won't watch that. Because it's got Tom Cruise in it.
That's good. Platoon's good. And what's the other one? There was it's a Tommy Lee Jones one. It was less known, wasn't it?
Oh, it
Something
was
Heaven.
Yeah. I'm going to look that up. It was.
But they do that. It's like the Three Colors trilogy. Is a themed-based trilogy rather than a narrative-based trilogy. They don't tend to do that in Hollywood films so much, but it does happen.
It feels Shakespearean. You know, you know, I went through catharsis at the end and it felt like Hamlet, you know, where everything...
Yeah, it was a massive tragedy, wasn't it?
It's a pure tragedy. And then you're left with this odd, odd sensation at the end of the film.
Not to go into it.
We're not going, but you will be feeling with a huge dichotomy within yourself at the end of the film. And it just feels like that Shakespearean tragedy, huge.
What it all
story.
Almost Greek, I'd say, tragedy as opposed to Shakespeare.
Yeah.
Yes, I'd say Greek. One of a lot more.
Yeah, them Greeks. It was Heaven and Earth.
Heaven and Earth, that was it. I knew we had Heaven in there somewhere.
Yeah, I remember seeing trailers.
I've only
for it.
Seen
thinking,
Platoon.
I'll never see that film. But Tommy Lee. A good actor who makes some disgraceful choices when it comes to the films he's in. I think he can be excellent, although he does have a tendency to whisper very quickly and then go back into talking normally. He does that a lot in Batman.
Yeah.
In Batman and Robin. Is it Batman and Robin? Batman Forever.
Batman Forever.
Everybody's talking very quietly.
Yeah, but Batman Forever is a big bag of piss.
Yeah, but Tommy Lee Jones does that all the time.
Yeah, he does do that quite a bit.
But he's good in The Fugitive. Have you ever seen Savage Island?
He's excellent in The Fugitive.
He won an Oscar for that. For The Fugitive.
He never did.
He did?
Which Oscar?
Best Supporting Actor.
Ah.
Yeah, it was a really unusual genre pick for the
action movies don't win Oscars, really.
No,
not like that.
Well, it wasn't a typical action film, The Fugitive, though, was it? It was
a thriller drama.
It was a thriller slash drama kind of thing with a little bit of action in it.
Has Harrison Ford ever won an Oscar?
Oh, that's a question. I don't think he has.
No, I don't think he has either.
I don't think so.
I can't remember if he has or not.
The man who says every three films do a comedy. I'm still waiting to see him in something funny.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wasn't that one with Anne Hesh. I'm sure that wasn't meant to be a comedy, was it? 40 Days and 40 Nights. And when I woke up, the film had finished and it was terrible.
It felt like 40 Nights.
Arrived and all that.
So yeah, the Old Boy, the classic, the ending... The climax of the film. Now, I won't say anything about the climax of the film, but one thing I would also like to note is that generally foreign films tend to not necessarily run well. The good foreign films that you tend to see more of anyway, not the crap that doesn't get filtered through to us, is the structure. Structurally, they don't tend to follow the same thing, which often means that they sort of end in what we would naturally assume would be an anticlimax, where, you know, you have some the biggest event in the middle of the film and then the rest of it is an extended epilogue.
Yeah.
Or something like that, something unusual, which they do, you know, they do tend to do sometimes. But this film, the climax, just it has it all. It is one of the best climaxes to any film I've ever seen. It's just
layers upon layers, and then
you just sit watching it and you think this is a really good climax, but all it needs now is this, and then that happens, and then you think, oh yeah, no, they could just do one more thing, and then that happens, and it's just,
and
like,
it's like, oh, that's gotta be it now, and yeah, it's like, oh my god, that's it.
It's so fucking good.
It ends when I want it to.
Yes.
I don't want to see anymore.
Oh god, yes.
It's a long film.
I was very
well.
Ready for it to end when it ended.
Yeah.
It's a long film as well.
When you saw the footprints in the snow and it does that tracking shot, I did think, oh, it's not going to go on more.
115 minutes, so just under two.
It felt longer.
It felt very long.
Yeah. I think it's just because it's so intense, so much information you have to take in.
My heart was pounding all the way through.
Mm.
Just absolutely pounding.
Yeah.
It does.
The production values. Let's talk production values here.
That's one thing that struck me straight away about this film is...
golden.
It's, yeah, just such high production values. Because I'm used to watching, like, from Asian cinema, stuff like that is generally doesn't have that much going on that would make the budget go through the roof. It's made very well, but there's nothing so monumentally huge in it that you think... like, oh shit, you know, how did they afford that? But this one instantly just struck by the fact that there was so much... it's just so much money that must have been spent on it.
There's opulence in that thing. Well, yeah. One of the sets is a rather beautiful apartment.
Fat motherfucking penthouse.
We're seeing this more and more, though, aren't we? Is that they're obviously pumping shitloads of cash into Korean cinema at the moment.
Yeah.
Because we watched Attack at the Gas Station the other week, and that, again, was another beautiful-looking film.
Yeah.
It didn't look cheap.
I think it was cheaper than Old Boy.
Well, it was shot in the same place, probably cheaper than Old Boy. But it didn't look cheap by any means.
This
is probably an example of what happens when you actually just put money into films.
Yeah.
You don't need to do anything else. It's not that the talent and the ability isn't there. You've just got to put the money into it and it happens.
Mm.
And that's probably why we have virtually no film industry.
Well, it's like the difference between buying a stereo. You know, you can buy one from Asda for like 50 quid or whatever, but you can go down to sound whatever sound bar thingies are us, and we're best at it.
Yeah, I know
grand
that.
Does something
I want the really good sound shop. Yeah, I know that one.
It's
right next to the really good food shop.
Yeah.
And the bloody excellent TVs.
Yeah, they're on the same street.
Yeah.
Fucking A Street.
You can check them out online as well, www.bloodygoodtvs.com.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, no, I know what you mean, though. Like the more, not necessarily the more money that they pump into, you know, that bigger budget means better film, but to a certain extent,
bigger budget means better production values.
You just need, so when you've got the lovely combination of immense talent, which this film has behind it, from crew to cast to absolutely everything.
Everyone is a gem in it
in performance manner.
There's no weak links in this whole film.
The only slight thing, like Richard said, is that the epilogue goes on a tad too long.
I just worried that it was starting another thing.
Not necessarily starting another thing. I didn't mind it the first time I watched it, but when you on repeat viewings, you're just sort of like, yeah, I kind of want to switch it off now because I've had the climax and you know how it all ends.
But the end is so significant
as well.
Exactly.
That's the thing.
It is.
It's the perfect moment to end the film, I think, and I needed that.
Yeah.
Might not liked it, but I needed that last piece to be done and I didn't mind waiting for it at first.
No.
What about the score? Because I thought that score was fucking amazing.
No, I loved the score. Yeah. Didn't
it was in no way what I expected it to be or what you would expect it to be.
No.
Because it didn't sound Korean. There was a lot of clarinet orchestral music in there.
Right, it was properly scored sort of thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was properly scored and they repeated. I know it's more that they repeat almost every music cue once more.
Mm.
There's like all of the music cues and they're not necessarily variants on the same thing. There might be small variations on each one instead of a direct replica, but they did use, there's like five or six key pieces of music and they do get repeated a little bit like Halloween.
Yeah.
In that sense, like because Halloween used the same
main theme and
two
then
pieces of music throughout the whole film.
Yeah.
And it was the same sort of deal. But yeah, it's almost like some of the score reminded me of Amelie a little bit. Some of the transitions
reminded
me of Amelie as well.
Yeah.
Like some of the crazy bit where some like a train starts moving through a normal shot and just merges into this tube shot.
The quirkier type moments.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then other parts of the music were, there's an absolutely gorgeous piece of ambient music in the climax sequence. To a fight scene as well, and it's just fucking unbelievable.
It's always
and it just adds so much power to the film. The score backs it up 100%.
Often said that you know it's a damn good score because you don't notice the score.
Yeah.
Well, it's taken a couple of viewings to sort of properly get onto it.
The stuff that I noticed was around the big fight scenes with the classical music, you know, the Beethoven and the Mozart was in there. And
The tooth really torture sequence has that there piece of classical music, doesn't it? I can't remember. But how does it go? Which makes you piss because it's about to rip someone's teeth out with a fucking hammer. And it's got that piece of music running over it.
Juxtaposes it beautifully.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
I don't know what it's called, but I know what you mean. It's kind of soaring almost, and it's joyfulness.
It's that good. Let's go for a horse ride music.
Yeah.
You know, in the
tally-ho.
Tally-ho, let's go for a horse ride down the country, darling.
Tally-ho, let's pull someone's teeth.
Yeah.
With a claw hammer.
A claw hammer.
Just thinking about that makes me shudder again. It really it was horrific.
A lot of shuddering moments.
Oh, there were a lot of
teeth. Teeth are a big thing in films, aren't they? For sort of.
Dentist. Fear of the dentist is probably.
All I have to say is American History X.
Teeth on the curb. You know they went first.
Have we ever done American History X? We haven't.
No,
we should do that one.
We should do that.
Yeah.
We'll do that one.
By all means.
Cool. So,
have we got anything else to say about Old Boy?
Not really.
He's old and he's a boy.
I've got lots of random shit to talk about.
Okay, go for the random shit.
We received. I talked last time about the fact we have a donations button on the thing now, and that you can subscribe and give us £2 a month. Somebody did.
Oh,
that's amazing.
And I believe it was, hang on, let me bring up the thing. Where are we? It was Nick.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Nick.
Thank you very much
for subscribing. That money goes towards hosting and maybe a new microphone one day, and we can all have a microphone with a wire that plugs in
and a stand
like that, because my stand is fucked.
At least you've got one.
Yeah, at least I've got one. You're sat there holding your own microphone.
It's a terrible shame,
and it's a rubbish microphone at that.
I know.
So thank you ever so much
from Argos
poor
or something.
Us. Poor us.
I got an email from a fella called Sagaya. I hope I've said your name right. I'm sure I have. I've been practicing. It's a guy from New York who was intrigued about my job and asked me some questions. I think he thinks that I go out on the street and I'm maybe at risk of knife attacks and things like that because people might think I'm carrying drugs on me or money and might steal them from me. So I had to kind of reassure him that I'm really safe at work and I'm not going to get stabbed real soon. And yeah, I can quite comfortably be around crack users and they won't kill me.
Well, even if you are stabbed, you've been training for 15 years in a prison anyway to fight. So.
This is true. I've been punching a wall. I've been getting all zen and, you know, I'm ready.
That scares the shit out of me. Sorry. don't hurt me.
I'll try not to.
I'm going to get it.
Well, now I know where that bruise on your stomach's come from.
Yeah.
It wasn't the surgeon. You didn't
it wasn't
the
surgeon. Alice had ripped it out.
And then stapled him. Actually stapling your own boyfriend, Alison. That's just fucking
yeah, they weren't
me.
Surgical staples. They came from the stapler up there on the shelf.
Yeah,
I
know. Best stapler. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wanted to remove them with a staple remover as well, but he insisted I'm going to see the nurse.
Pansy.
Hey, I was going to take them out. Just so everyone knows, I had the operation on a Thursday morning, and you apparently had the staples out 10 days after your operation, which landed on a Sunday. So
Easter
they weren't
Sunday
coming,
too.
And Easter Sunday. So they weren't coming out then, and I couldn't go to the surgery on a Monday either because it was Bank Holiday Monday. So I had them in me for 2 extra days. Longer than they needed to be in. I was ready to pull them out myself, to be perfectly honest.
I know.
You had to say to me, if you want to do it, you go and do it, but I'm not helping you.
Yeah.
And I nearly did. I nearly damn well did.
Oh, crazy film.
Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible.
Anyway,
they're but they're gone now, and it itches like hell.
Good, it's a good sign.
Yeah.
Sign of healing.
Yeah.
Sign of
healing. Hated that. Don't itch your scab. It's a sign of healing. Whoa, and it's so good.
Yeah. The worst bits though are the wounds left by the staples. That's it.
Yeah.
It's those damn staples.
But yeah.
If you have staples in, yeah, you're not up for fun.
They've made a really neat job. When they yeah. heal, you'll have nothing there. It'll be wicked.
Yeah. Thank you again to everybody who sent a message. That was wonderful. I'm fine now.
Yes,
I think.
It is.
I think I'm fine now.
Well, that's a matter of opinion.
Yeah. And we're going down to see What's-His-Face on Sunday.
What's-His-Face? Old Adam Curry, yeah. Yes. He's going to be over in the UK to meet British pop.
No, he lives here.
Well, I know he lives here, but he sometimes lives in San Francisco.
He does, that's true.
And sometimes Amsterdam, maybe.
I'm very jealous of that, actually.
So we're going to go down to London to meet him and talk about what we're up to and where we think this is going and that kind of thing. So we'll report back.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's a shame we can't all go, but I feel bad about going myself. We're missing somebody's birthday party for it.
Yeah, we're missing a party where they're going sledging.
At Xscape.
At Xscape, which is an indoor snow dome.
Mm-hmm.
You lucky bastards.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
Let's get. Oh, and this is the last week you can vote for us in April of on Podcast Alex.
Yes, so get them in last minute. Let's get us.
Please go and do that. Thank you ever so much.
Also, before we go, then just to wrap up.
Go on.
Old Boy, fucking fantastic film.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
If you have not watched this film, buy it. You will not regret it.
Yeah, don't bother renting it. Just go straight for the order form. Just do it. Just buy it.
You will want to buy it. You will want to watch it again. Buy it.
Yeah.
It's a fucking amazing film.
It is a movie you should see.
I'm moved by that movie.
I'm going to be that. Some of those scenes are going to stay with me all damn night.
Mm.
Especially the one in the last scene. That was horrid. You'll know what
I'm
when you see it. You'll know what bit I'm talking about. Right at the end.
Mm.
Oh God!
Yeah,
right.
Enough.
Enough. Thank you for listening.
Thank
everybody.
You very much.
See you, bye. We'll be right back.